Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, far sideline, 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org.
And that's going to be the ballgame. Georgia will win this ballgame.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Yes, indeed. Another edition of the Bulldog Roundtable coming to you live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union. And by the way, the best credit union in the universe. But from our own studios right here in the heartbeat of Dog Nation in the classic city of Athens, Georgia. And let me quickly remind you, all editions of the Bulldog Roundtable shows, if you miss any, can be found in podcast form at 680thefan.com or with the 680 The Fan app. You can catch up on them at either of those two locations. And we got a great show for you today. Look, spring is officially, I think, underway on Saturday, but you might as well count spring as starting today. A little damp, but we might as well start it today. Isn't that right? Jake Roos, our good friend, covers the Dogs for UGASports.com. If you're a Dogs fan, you need to be reading what this guy's writing. Jake, isn't that about right, though? Spring starts today?
Oh, no question about it, Chuck. I think everybody's chomping at the bit for this one. After last season's cancellation of spring practice, it's just exciting, I think, for everybody to get back to business.
And it would be raining. I mean, that would be the case. But I'm sure it won't stop the Dogs. Jake, as we head into this, are you among the legions that are just kind of watching that secondary, and particularly and specifically that cornerback situation that the Dogs have a little bit of a problem in, and that not a lot of depth there right now?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's got to be the main storyline for everybody going into this spring practice. You know, you feel pretty good about probably penciling in Keely Ringo for one of those cornerback spots. At least you hope so. But, you know, who wins that second spot, I think, is a real key here. Also, that star spot, that was something that Tyreek Stevenson kind of had locked up. You know, who kind of takes over there? You've got some older guys, Tavius Brenny, Amir Speed, who've been around the program for a while. A newcomer like Nylon Green, a bit of an unknown commodity in the redshirt freshman Jalen Kimber. So a lot of intriguing options for Georgia, but no clear-cut options there just yet. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays itself out.
Yeah, all of us being as we are, which is tending to be worried and skeptical, you don't get that impression from Kirby right now. He, you look at the job that he has done recruiting-wise, and it's not like the Dogs don't have those options, as you just pointed out.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really what it is. I think that there's a quiet confidence from Kirby Smart. You know, I think that's been evident in how they've handled even, you know, the transfer portal. I think that the fact that they haven't really gone out and picked somebody up, you know, I think that possibility still exists and that they still may do that later down the line or heading into the summer. But, you know, right now I think that they feel pretty comfortable with the options they have. And I think they're eager to see what those guys can produce.
Jake, then let's leave that position behind. And what are you looking at next?
You know, I think it's got to be offensive line. You know, I think that you've got some movement around there. You lost a couple of guys to the league. You know, just some guys who had played a lot there. Does Jamari Sawyer move inside? Does he stick out at the tackle spot? How does Amarius Mims, you know, the young, highly touted number one offensive tackle in the nation, how does he factor in? What about Broderick Jones and Tate Ratledge, a couple of five-star tackles from the year before? Just a really intriguing group of talent there. But again, not a lot of experience. Going to be interesting to see how that one plays itself out on the offensive line, because Georgia's got a lot of options there, and it could go a number of different directions.
They tried the experiment. I won't say it was an experiment, but they tried in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, moving Sawyer inside. That did not work real well.
Yeah. You know, I think, though, for his long-term prospects, it makes a lot of sense. I think that he's a guy who, you know, probably projects a guard in the NFL. So I think he wants to get that film under his belt. I think he wants to have the opportunity to prove that he can do that. And I think that that may be a natural position for him. And luckily for Georgia, they've recruited tackles very well. Like I said, Broderick Jones and Amarius Mims among them. What about a guy like Xavier Truss? Does a guy like Warren McClendon continue to hold on to his spot? Like I said, just a ton of options for Georgia. It's going to be very interesting to see how that one plays itself out.
Yeah, and another confidence builder there, too, I think, is Coach Luke. I think he has shown great ability in working with those linemen in his short tenure here so far.
Yeah, no question about it. I think that you got to feel good about who you got at the helm there. Matt Luke, a guy who's well-known for his offensive line coaching, a guy who, I think can get that unit where it needs to be. And really, more so than anything, I think that they've got to find some stability there. I think that Matt Luke understands that. I think Kirby Smart understands that. You know, they've had kind of a rash of injuries, moving pieces kind of the last couple of years. They really need a solid five going into this year and some guys who can play together consistently.
Talking with Jake Roos, who covers the Dogs for UGASports.com. And, Jake, let me ask you, are you hearing any chatter about the situation with that opening game versus Clemson in Charlotte? North Carolina has been one of the slower states to open. That has been, the way that they have gone about pushing through this pandemic. And I know both Dan Radakovich, the AD at Clemson, and Josh Brooks, our AD, have expressed interest in a capacity crowd in Charlotte for that September 4th showdown to start the football season here in 2021. Are you hearing any chatter about the possibility of looking for a backup location?
I haven't yet, Chuck, but I do think that it's probably something that they've got on their radar. I think that you have to. Like you said, North Carolina's been pretty slow to open things up, have really just kind of taken their time with everything. So I think it's something that everybody has to be considering, certainly. It's not ideal. But at the same time, the city of Charlotte, I think, probably pushing for the opportunity to host such a marquee game as well. So going to be interesting to see how that one plays itself out. I think that they've got a chance to, go up there and get it, depending on how this vaccine rollout goes and how things kind of go rolling into the summer. But no doubt in my mind that that's in the back burner for everybody is a backup location.
Yeah, and I would think we would get an answer given the plans that people have to make for hotel rooms and so forth. And let's face it, Dog Nation loves to travel. That we would have to hear, sometime probably in the early part of June, that you'd need to know by then. But I think that you're right. I think that probably is at least a consideration at this point. Jake, before I let you go, any thoughts on how we wrapped up basketball?
Oh, well, not ideal, but I think in most people's mind, mercifully over. You don't have to go to the NIT and kind of suffer through that. Just kind of a real mixed bag. You've got questions, I think, about where Georgia stands when it comes to basketball right now. You don't feel like you're much further ahead than you were when the Tom Crean era began, recruiting suffering in-state especially. So, just a ton of question marks around that program right now. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle it, I think, moving forward, because, a lot of options on the table. How serious is this administration, especially this new AD, when it comes to revitalizing this basketball program?
Yeah, I do think it'll be a point of interest with the new administration and, you know, trying to help Coach Crean do all he can to get it back to where they want to see it. But, Jake, certainly appreciate your time this morning, as always. Jake Roos, covering the Dogs for UGASports.com. And we'll be catching up with you again down the road here, my friend.
Hey, thank you very much, Chuck. I appreciate it.
Okay, Jake Roos with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. We were talking basketball as we left it there. When we come back, we're going to talk more basketball, only with Joni Taylor. The University of Georgia Lady Dogs are headed to the NCAA tournament. We'll tell you where, when, and against whom. That's next.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is Bulldog Roundtable with...
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's own Credit Union Studios in the Butzmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
And welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. Let's get right to it with the SEC Coach of the Year, Joni Taylor. Coach, congratulations. The NCAA tournament, a third seed. And I thought, you know what? I thought the committee showed a lot of respect for the SEC. You've got a one seed in South Carolina, 2-3 seeds in Georgia and Tennessee.
Absolutely. And Texas A&M got a 2-seed. So they were right there, and Arkansas followed behind with the 4. So it just speaks to the strength of our conference and how we've had to battle all year long. Really, really tough league, and I'm really happy about everybody who got in and where we're seated.
Joni, you know now you'll play Drexel in I guess it's a week from today at noon in San Antonio. I think it's on the campus of St. Mary's. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. We play Monday at noon, as you said, against Drexel. Still learning about them, not very familiar with them from what we've seen on film so far. They have a style of basketball similar to Villanova, which is five out, pass, cut, shoot, back door. So getting ourselves familiar with them as we speak.
And it's been a while now by the time you take the court again to play since you've played 2 weeks. How are you handling a two-week off period?
You know, honestly, it's what always happens for us because of when our SEC tournament falls. So in a normal year, this would be spring. Last week would have been spring break. And we normally would have let our young ladies go home for the week to see their families, to rest their bodies, and to just have a mental break from basketball and then bring them back over the weekend and get back to practicing, you know, as we sit around and wait for the selection show. So we did something similar last week. We obviously did not let them leave town because we had to get COVID tested every day and we wanted to keep our bubble intact. But we gave them the entire week off. We've got some seniors who have led us all year long, but they've logged a lot of minutes, so they're tired and banged up. So it was good for them to rest and just recharge and refocus and buckle down academically. And then we got back to practice over the weekend with some good practices, and we're off today so we can pack and get ready to go, and then we'll report out to San Antonio tomorrow. So the biggest thing is the challenge is keeping their conditioning, right? You don't want them to lose their conditioning, their level, their base. At the same time, you want them to have fresh legs because there's not a lot of time in between these games. And so we've been able to do that for a few years, and so it felt pretty normal.
In this most unusual of seasons, I know people are hearing you say that you're packing and getting ready to leave tomorrow. The game's not till next Monday at noon. But explain to people all of the protocols that are in place so that we can get this tournament played.
Right. So this year they're sending all 64 teams to San Antonio. On the men's side, they're in Indianapolis. And so all 64 teams will come to San Antonio, and the tournament will be held in the San Antonio area and the surrounding area, Austin, Texas, San Marcos, different locations. And so when we are leaving earlier, because once we get there, we have to be in isolation for 48 hours until two negative tests come back. So we don't know what time we're leaving tomorrow yet. They haven't told us, but we will test tomorrow, be in isolation all day on Wednesday. We'll test again on Thursday. And until our second negative test comes back, we will have to be quarantined in our room by ourselves, and we cannot come out. And so that's where all 64 teams, usually you have a roommate on the road. Our players have a roommate. They will all have their own hotel room. So it'll be true isolation, shut for 48 hours. And then once we get our negative test, we are allowed to have access to a team room where we watch film and can have team activities. But other than that, the only time we are instructed to leave our hotel room is to get on the team bus for travel back and forth to practice and games and to go to our team room. So it's still going to be very much a quarantine environment the entire time we're out there. And listen, we want to be playing in April, so you're talking about 3 weeks. They even told us if our hotel had a Starbucks in it or a restaurant or like a market center, we were not allowed to go in there and buy anything. So they truly have us on a pretty tight string.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like I was going to ask the question, with this much time off and having it been such a long season, would there be a time where you'd tell the ladies, look, just take a complete day and don't do anything? Looks like you're not going to have any choice.
We're not going to have any choice, which was why when we got back to practice Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we went at it pretty hard because we're going to have 2 days off again, come out of quarantine, and then play a game in 2 days. And so our strength conditioning coach, Josh Rushi, and our trainer, Stacey Kizzle, have been tremendous in terms of thinking through Zoom workouts during the time that we're going to be in quarantine. We're going to all jump on a Zoom and try to get our conditioning through some core and some Tabata style things. And so they've been very detailed in packing things that we need to keep us moving in the hotel room while we are going to be isolated from each other.
Joni, are you in good health right now?
We are. You know, we've got a few injuries that are things we're just trying to take care of. But overall, yes, we're in good health.
So you're going into this tournament then with pretty high hopes. And you feel like that SEC tournament and the way that this team finished the season just kind of showed the nation you can compete with anybody.
Not only can we compete with anybody, but we can win. You know, I think you look at what we did over the weekend. Kentucky's got the best player in the country in Ryan Howard. And then to go into Saturday after playing that game on Friday and to knock down Texas A&M, who won the SEC regular season and was number two in the country at the time, and then to battle South Carolina the way we did. I mean, obviously the outcome wasn't what we wanted, but to play them to 5 points, the ball bounces a different way, a call yeah. goes a different way. That game is totally different, and I'm not taking anything away from South Carolina. They're really good for a reason. They had been there before, and you can tell their experience in those situations rose to the occasion. But I think we learned a lot from Sunday. One of the most important things we learned is what you said. We deserve to be playing on that stage, and I think we're excited about the opportunity to get to that moment again in San Antonio.
Well, and let me just say this. When you say a call could have gone a different way, those calls probably should have gone a different way. I got to tell you, I sit there. I feel for you. I tell you that. I do feel for you. But, you know, it is what it is. So just let them know. And next time that you have a discussion, tell them, and Chuck agrees with me. You can say that.
I will. Just, it's like I told our team, we're going to have to take this game. It's not going to be given to you by South Carolina, by the officials, by the fans. Obviously, most of our fans, we had a great turnout in the entire weekend, but we had people show up on Sunday who we hadn't seen all weekend long, and that spoke to the excitement of us being in the championship game. But you can't outdo, you know, South Carolina being so close. So we told them we were going to have to take the game and not even, you know, let it be close. But, again, you learn from all those experiences.
Well, Coach, I got to tell you, we're proud of those young ladies. We're proud of you, the job that you've done this year, and it's just been a great season, and we just want to keep it going. So let's head out to San Antonio. Stay safe. But once we take the floor, let's let everybody know how good we are.
That is the plan, Chuck. That is the plan. Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate you being with us. Coach Joni Taylor here with us from the Lady Dogs, getting ready to head to San Antonio, a third seed in the NCAA Women's Tournament. So we wish them the very best of luck. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to turn our attention to the Men's Tournament, talk with one of the former stars of the SEC, now doing great work with the SEC Network, Pat Bradley. He's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
This is the official sports talk station of the Dogs.
It's Bulldog Roundtable on the Fan.
This is Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, and you're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Thank you, Coach, and I know his better half, Mary Beth. She'll be paying close attention to that women's bracket for the University of Georgia when they get out into San Antonio. But let's bring in a guy that does a great job for the SEC Network. You've had a chance to see a lot of him here lately with the SEC tournament last week. Pat Bradley, former Arkansas star. And Pat, appreciate your time this morning, but I'm not sure. Did the SEC get the proper credit from the NCAA committee?
Well, there's a few teams slotted in there that probably could have been given a better seed. Well, certainly LSU, I would say. I thought after watching them, man, that is a pretty good 8 seed. That is an 8 seed because they had a really good weekend to finish the season. And they had some games during the season.
They were kind of head-scratchers, weren't they?
Right, right. And, Bama, they didn't do Bama really any favors, I thought. Although the one seed in that region looks to be the weakest. But overall, we knew, that sometimes the important thing is just getting into the tournament, and regardless of the number that's in front of you. So got 6. Not bad, considering. I thought we really had a good shot at being in the season at 8. A couple things shake out a little bit differently, and that's where we're at. So I think pretty
good.
Pretty good. Yep. And only going to get better.
Yeah, well, you mentioned could have gotten 8. It looks like Ole Miss and Mississippi State were perhaps even the last two out. Amazing. I mean, so it was that close to getting 8.
And consider this, Ole Miss is with a third or fourth in line. If there is a team, I believe, like by 6 p.m. tonight is the deadline where there's a replacement team. And so if a team does have to back out that is in the NCAA tournament, then there has to be 3 of them that back out and the 4 of them, then Ole Miss will be the 4th. And then but I believe what happens is after 6 p.m. tonight, what happens is if a team some reason has to back out because of COVID, they just slide the team that was supposed to be, just slide them on through into the game, into the bracket. So still chance we could get more. But as crazy as that sounds, there's still a chance.
Yeah, just before you came on, we were talking with Coach Joni Taylor of the women's team at Georgia. They are a third seed out in San Antonio. They do not play until next Monday at noon, but they are leaving for San Antonio tomorrow. The ladies have to be quarantined for 48 hours in individual hotel rooms and have to have 2 negative tests. They are going to extreme measures to make sure that everybody is healthy and ready to go, that they are truly, it sounded to me from the description she just gave us that it's a true bubble.
Yeah, that sounds like it. And don't forget, if you continue to win, you're going to be same hotel, same situation for a couple of weeks. Now that's a good incentive, right? Cause you're going deep into the tournament, but that is certainly something that, I guess after everything they've been through, that's what it takes. I'm sure everyone's willing to do it.
The other news we got yesterday was that 6 officials, including TV Teddy, got sent home.
Oh, I didn't see that. Man.
Yeah, for positive test. So that's, you know, look, if they don't call me, then that's fine too, because I don't really want to run the floor anymore. but that is they're going to start scrounging here to come up with six replacement officials. So I thought that was all the emphasis we've been placing on the players and the coaches, and it's six officials come up with positive tests. Pat, do you fall into that category though? That's everybody's saying Gonzaga.
Well, at this point, you obviously did a favorite. The question would be, is you take them of the field, and you know, it's the smart thing to do is to take the field, because when you're talking about, there's just so many things that could go on in 3 weeks' time, and Gonzaga, the impressive thing is they have so many guys that if one or two are having an off night, there's two or three other ones that can step in. And they're that talented. They are a good defensive team. Just the combination of talent and experience is – you just don't see it very often. So that's the reason why they are a strong favorite, very strong favorite. But to think – and we've seen these tournaments for a long time, and you just know how wacky and crazy it can be. And so that's the reason why I would say smart money, probably, you know, you can't go into it and say definitely that's the team, because on a one and done tournament, team gets hot, it can happen. You can lose.
Well, you mentioned
definitely a strong favorite.
You mentioned teams that can get hot and could make a run. Now, they don't have a Pat Bradley, but those Hogs are pretty good.
Yeah, they, you know what they do? And this is, they figured it out early on. Everything, they got to start with defensively. And they're a pretty good defensive team when it comes to matchups, because they're long, they're quick, they get a lot of quickness. Even at the forward positions, got a lot of quickness, athleticism. So that gives them advantage right away. You know, they're going to lock you down. And then from an offensive standpoint, they've had some games that have been, you know, a little iffy, but Musselman's got a game plan, and when they do, when they stick to the high percentage shots, getting to the rim, playing through Moses Moody, then yeah, they could definitely go on a tear, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, possibly, and then hey, you look at the bracket, Baylor, another team that depends on the three. Who says they can't go cold?
So that's right. There you go.
That's what's so fun about this.
I know you've been around long enough to hear, you know, you live by the jump shot, you can die by the jump shot. So absolutely. Pat, thank you so much for your time this morning, and continued success to you on the SEC Network. We certainly enjoy watching you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
All right. Pat Bradley with the SEC Network here, an analyst with them and a former Hog star with those Arkansas Razorbacks. We appreciate his time this morning on the Bulldog Roundtable. And, of course, as always, we appreciate yours. Don't forget, spring football cranks up today. Let's have a great Bulldog day, everybody.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamJack.com.